Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a line of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesday of each month. Wednesdays feature Circle of Nature with none other than Selena Fox. The second and fourth Friday of each month features Songs of the Pagan Tribe, hosted by Kern Greenman. Less talk, more pagan music, exploring the songs, people, and the wonderful, inspiring world of pagan music. The third Friday of each month features Blue Marble, an eco-educational, eco-restorational, eco-spirituality podcast that features adventures and stories about climate impacts with climate solutions and how you can manifest good energy for the planet. Would you like to celebrate the full moons with community? Then celebrate the next full moon online with Circle Sanctuary Community. The theme is Pinnacle Pyre and takes place on Tuesday, April 23rd. Full moon circles begin at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain, or 4 p.m. Pacific. Circle Sanctuary full moon circles include invocations, music, meditations, poetry, reflections, and ritual workings. They are facilitated by Circle Sanctuary ministers, Reverend Selena Fox and Reverend Judith Sizes, plus other members of the Circle Sanctuary community. Those joining online are invited to bring a candle to kindle during the ritual and are invited to interact with others in the chat on YouTube. Attendance is free and no registration is required. For more information, please go to circlesanctuary.org. Whether you're a Reiki student or a seasoned healer, tonight on Circle Talk, I'm so excited. Dawn McLaughlin, who is the author of Everyday Reiki, is going to show us how to cultivate a personal relationship with healing energy itself. Dawn, who's a Reiki master teacher, will discuss how to strengthen intuition, improve mindfulness, reduce stress, and promote healing on all levels. I read her book and I'm very excited for you to meet her. Dawn is a teacher, Reiki master student, vibrational sound healer, astrology, and teacher of both yoga and meditation. She founded Intuitive Hearts, a holistic service center in Smithfield, Rhode Island. You can visit her at intuitivehearts.com. That's intuitive, intuitivehearts.com. Let's welcome Dawn to Circle Talk. Welcome, Dawn.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I am a level two Reiki, and so I was very excited to get your book and learned a lot. Tell me how you got started with Reiki.
I got started with Reiki for my own personal healing. My boys were in high school, and I started developing some intestinal problems that the doctors couldn't find a cause for. And I went to a woman who was a reflexologist who also did Reiki. And I had an amazing experience with her. And she ended up becoming my first Reiki teacher.
Oh, that's awesome. So for our listeners who this is brand new, explain what Reiki is.
Thanks. Reiki is an energy healing modality that promotes healing on all levels of your being. Physical, emotional, mental, energetic, and spiritual, through its connection to the universal life force energy.
And there are a lot of different healing modalities, including touch. There's therapeutic touch or whatever. Reiki for me is different because it there's an attunement process. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So to be a Reiki healer, you have to be attuned by a Reiki master teacher. And All that really means is that you go through a process of learning about Reiki, and the attunement process helps raise your vibration to the vibration of the Reiki level you're being attuned for. And that makes you a channel for the energy so that you can use it to heal yourself as well as share it with others.
Yeah, and it's and Reiki is something that came to this country, but it's old, isn't it? Isn't it like 100 years old or something? It came us from the East.
Yes, it came specifically from Japan, and Dr. Yusui is credited for establishing the Reiki practice. And it was during a pilgrimage that he went on as a Buddhist. And the legend of it is that he went into a cave and went through a period of fasting and meditation for 40 days. And that's when he discovered Reiki and the Reiki symbols and went through a process for his own healing, as well as he started using the symbols to heal others. And he founded an organization in Japan and taught 12 Reiki masters and shared the gift, and they taught others. Over the years, it came to the United States and it's been flourishing here.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm considered a Reiki too. I've been attuned to level two. Explain the levels to our listeners, because that's interesting. There's different levels and they do different things.
Sure. Reiki level one is your first attunement process. That's when you're just learning. And it's mostly about learning for Reiki for your physical body. And you practice self-healing. And you can work with others, family and friends, but you're not considered a Reiki professional at that point because you're just learning. Reiki two, you become attuned to the three Reiki symbols. You learn how to heal not only physically, but emotionally. And it's also for distance healing. And that's a breakthrough. Once you can start sending healing across time and space, it really is a game changer. And Reiki three, the master level, is usually divided into two sections. You have the Reiki master, where you learn the final symbols. Many people stop there, or you can become a Reiki master teacher where you learn how to pass the attunements to others. So it's a personal process. You can go quickly through the levels, or you can take your time through each one. I recommend, spending time on each at least for a minimum of 40 days to really internalize it yourself before you move on to the next level. There's no rush. It's not a race.
That's interesting. The person who did my attunement, she likes, she's pagan, so that might be why. She likes a year and a day.
Yeah.
And she wants you to use it. And I can tell the difference. And she said it's something that the more you use, the more it flows. And so she
Exactly.
wants you, by the time you come to your next one, she wants to see how comfortable you are with that level you're at. So I agree, because I see people who have these weekends where you can do
Yes.
everything. And I think that maybe does them a disservice.
I completely agree, which is what prompted me through my own reflections and how quickly, well, I didn't move through them that quickly, but the classes themselves could be very quick, 6 hours,
yes,
and then you're on your own and you move on. And that sort of prompted me to write this book, because I wanted to internalize it more. I wanted to go deep inside and develop a better relationship with Reiki itself and have a firsthand experience of what it can really do before I shared it with others. So,
right. And I was going to say, I liked your book like that too, because I will say the only book that I have had about Reiki that was Chris Penzack's, but there's not a whole lot. And so you go through this and then you're kind of like, now what do I do? And especially in your book does such a great job of going very, very deep into it. Tell me, because for each level of Reiki, you go through 40 days
yes.
of deep. I loved that. So, and that is going to be a practice that I'm going to do for one and two. It was really, tell me how you came up with that. That is very innovative, and I've not seen anyone else do anything like that.
I haven't seen anybody do anything like that either, which is why I did it.
And I'm totally going to recommend, because it's just really clever how you do it.
Well, Full disclosure, I'm a math major, so I love numbers. So when I was trying to come up with the appropriate time period, I picked 40 days. Well, one, because it does take time to develop habits, and I really wanted this to become a daily
That's
habit.
also a magical number in a lot of traditions, 40.
It sure is. So, if you're looking at the Buddhist or Vedic traditions, many of their spiritual practices are for 40 days. I had a Sanskrit teacher for many, many years, and my cycles were always a 40-day Sanskrit chanting practice cycle. Additionally, in the Christian tradition, Lent lasts for 40 days before it culminates in Easter. Let's see. Oh, the Ballad of Thomas the Rhymer, which is a wonderful story about the main character spending 40 days in the fairy realms before returning to the mortal world. That's a great read. And finally, since this book was actually written during the quarantine time of COVID, a quarantine traditionally lasts for 40 days. That's not our
Isn't
experience
that
here in the US,
interesting?
but I thought that was an interesting tidbit to add there too. So yes, 40 days for me for the cycles, what felt right.
And something else that again, I really enjoyed your book, but I would have went wild for it when I had first started Reiki. You do a really good job, and so I recommend everyone who's gotten Reiki 1. It's a great book. You go through the art of self Reiki with pictures
Oh
and
yeah.
14 positions and detailed on how to start. Tell me about that. That was excellent.
So when you're doing a self-healing session, which can last anywhere from 5 minutes doing a little spot treatment, so you don't need to dedicate a whole half hour or an hour, but obviously more can be better based on your unique needs. But yeah, I just do a very simple practice of, first of all, creating some sacred space, meaning making sure I'm in an area where I don't feel there's a lot of clutter, a lot of stuff all around. I always silence my cell phone. So before we do any of these types of practices, we want to eliminate as many distractions as possible. And then I set the intention. In fact, I do that a lot in the book, talking about intention setting, because it helps us focus our attention, awareness, and our energy towards a goal, in this case, our own healing. Just take a minute and ground yourself. There are different ways you can do that. You can do it through spending a few moments just in meditation. Connecting with the energies of the earth is a great way to do that. And then you just start the flow of Reiki. And you can either use the 14 self-healing hand positions, or you can let your intuition guide you to where you need some specific treatment. But as you know, Reiki has a conscious awareness in and of itself, and it goes where it's needed.
But I felt like, and again, I agree, but sometimes I think most people are like me. They're a better editor than they are creator. So the good thing about someone especially who's new with your book, is I think the pictures, once you have a basic, then you can get fancy and do things on your own.
Exactly.
But I thought it was a really good way, and it was, very holistic, the whole body. It was really easy to do. And so yeah, I really, really actually had recommended someone that. I thought that was a really good way that you did that. It was really easy to learn, and for me, because I've done it a couple times now since I've had the book, it can become, once you know, it become can become actually very meditative, that you
Yes.
just kind of go through it, and it just becomes, I think I think a lot of people are looking for spirituality that they can reenact in their everyday life, and this would be something you could easily do in the morning or at night or just
Or even if
take.
you're stressed out at your lunch hour and
Oh,
or your
absolutely.
lunch half hour, and you're like, okay, I'm going to dedicate 10 minutes for my healing because I'm feeling stressed, feeling anxious. And just ground, or you can send Reiki energy to an issue that you're having during your day. So it's nice to give yourself a time out during the day and send Reiki to an event or to a situation or to a project that you're working on to help that.
What are some benefits of Reiki that you personally see?
Number one for me is stress reduction. Besides the physical healing, I think many of us today are stressed. There's a lot of anxiety, even with depression. I mean, turning on the news this day and age can cause a lot of anxiety. So for me, one of the number one benefits is with Reiki is that it helps with stress, anxiety. It can improve the quality of your sleep hand in hand with that stress and anxiety. Sometimes unwinding at the end of the day, we're not getting enough sleep, and Reiki can definitely help with that. It assists with preventative care too. So although we might not feel illness right now in our body, by doing Reiki every day for ourselves, or even going to a Reiki professional once a month can help make sure that we're doing what we can to maintain our well-being. It helps with pain relief too. So if there are aches and pains, it can help with that. And just overall improvement in well-being.
Yeah, that's really nice. And there are professional Reiki you can find on. And there's also places that will do what they call Reiki shares, where people will get together and do Reiki, which is also a good way to practice how you can feel. And I do agree. I think if you do Reiki on yourself, the good thing is that you learn your own energy. And then if there's a change, you can pick it up really quickly, and you may not know what's going on, but you know something's going on. Like I can tell the difference when I'm really tired. I've been burning the candle at both ends. I can tell a big difference in my energy. So.
Absolutely. It can act as a little refresher too. So before we get to that point of burnout, if we take that time for ourselves, then it really can act as a an energy refresh.
Right.
Helps with the revitalization.
In Reiki too, you talk about the symbols. For people who are not familiar with Reiki, talk about what the symbols are.
Sure. Just briefly, because I do recognize the fact that they're considered sacred. So I
Right.
try not to. I went back and forth in the book because originally Reiki symbols weren't written down, which is why there's a variation of different symbols.
Right.
I've known several different variations, and in my experience, they're all valid, which is amazing because I think our intention does a lot with that.
I think the
So,
concept of what a symbol is kind of, you know what I mean? It's just unique to Reiki.
the concept of the symbol and my understanding of the Reiki symbols has evolved over time, even while writing this book, because I've come to find out that we think of a symbol as a shape. And in Reiki, we tend to draw them out either on paper when we're practicing or with our hands. And there are other ways of doing that too. But I come to such a deep understanding that a symbol is more than just a shape, that there's a force, an energy behind it, which I'm finding absolutely fascinating to work with. So Reiki symbols, the first symbol, the Shokure symbol, can not only be used to add intensity and extra power, but it can also be used for protection, which is amazing. So I use it in, at my door or my windows. I'll use it on my car before I go on long trips. It's there are so
Well, I've never
many
thought
uses.
about that. That's
Yes.
really clever.
Yes, or you're going to take a trip, your luggage, you have to send your luggage away. Do it on your luggage so that it'll come back to you. Protect your luggage when you're traveling. Haven't lost a bag since doing that.
There you go.
You can use it to the Shokure symbol, for example, if for your wallet to help with financial prosperity, or use it on yourself when you're doing your budgets to help with financial health. The You're only limited by your own imagination. The symbols can be used. Once you're attuned to the symbols and you reach that level two where you're using them, you can use the symbols for almost anything.
How do you turn Reiki on and off? Or do you turn it off?
I do turn it off at the end of a session if I'm healing others or myself. I will turn it off, and you can use
See, I've
this.
heard people say that Reiki is always there, but I feel it on and off. And I use symbols in my hand to, I call it activate it. And so I actually can feel that.
I can feel that too, especially in the palms of my hands. If I
Right,
draw
that's
the
right.
symbols on, it's my hands will get warm. My hands are naturally cold. My hands will begin to heat up or tingle, which is always really interesting. And I will agree with you. It turns on by itself sometimes. I know that when my dog is sitting next to me, sometimes it'll just turn on and she'll get the energy from it. And I'll say, oh, I guess my little one's in need of healing. And then she'll tell me when she's had enough because she'll get up and leave. That's the end of the session. But yes, turning Reiki on or off, it's as simple as setting your intention to turn it on. But I love visualizations. It's the way I work. So I'll either picture a light switch on and off, turning it on at the end of the session, turning it off, or a dial, turning it on or off. Or you can visualize the Reiki energy, setting the intention to turn on, and then visualize it coming down from the heavens and filling you. And then at the end, picture it rising back.
Oh, that's a good idea. I physically do things with my hands that it so it physically is a connection for me when I do and when I'm doing Reiki, typically I can feel it decrease. I mean, I could feel it almost stop in a treatment or when I'm doing someone. So it actually it that does it to me. So that's really that is interesting. I know you talked earlier about you just talked about doing Reiki with animals. I have found I find, and it just might be me, I have found animals much more receptive actually than people are. And cats and dogs love Reiki.
Oh, they
So,
do.
yeah.
They do. In fact, one woman that I did Reiki with her, she was one of my Reiki teachers, one of my many. And I worked at her healing center for a while with her. After COVID, she had to go and did it from her home, and her dogs became involved. Her dogs would go into the healing rooms, and her dogs were part of the healing experience. Animals love this energy because it's such a nurturing, high vibe energy that's welcoming, and they can sense it because I believe they're more sensitive than we are. We have so many distractions in our day-to-day life, whereas dogs are a lot more in tuned with that, in my opinion. Dogs and cats.
And some people are just afraid. I mean, they just have a natural fear of something they don't understand or they may not understand. And absolutely, I've had people, and again, I'm a cat person, but especially cats who aren't warm and fuzzy, will come and sit in a perimeter. And people will say, I cannot believe, Fluffy is sitting that close to you. They never get near people. And I'm like, it's not me. It's because I'm sitting, it's energy. I can feel it because I can feel, like you say, I can feel sometimes my hands activate and here comes a cat and it'll sit there. And I'm like, yeah, I find animals very and soak it in quick. I mean, they will take it.
Oh, they'll take it, but they will, in my experience, will also tell you when they're done. I've had
Yes,
enough
they
now,
just
and they
leave or
move
it
on.
stops. I totally agree with that. It's your book also, and you talked about it earlier, which I found interesting, which is something that I've not done. You talked about I have, besides animals, I have done Reiki into food and drink, but you talk about Reiki into situations
Oh,
like
yeah.
your budget or intense meeting. Talk to me about that because that's a new concept for me.
Oh, sure. Well, you can send energy. Reiki is energy, and energy
Right.
exists. So it can go beyond. It can go into the past. It can go into the future. So I've used it for both successfully. So if you're sending Reiki to a situation in the past, you can work on healing interpersonal conflicts. You know, that argument that happened a year ago that you're still feeling, or a disagreement with a boss or a coworker that happened a while ago, and you just need to help let it go. Reiki can help with that, sending it to that past event or a past trauma, a past hurt. Reiki can really be beneficial, not only healing you where you are right now, but by sending it to the past, it has a healing impact there as well. A lost loved one or a pet that's passed on, I've sent Reiki energy to those situations for additional healing. And I've sent it to my ancestors, those who have gone before, those I don't even know, to heal trauma in our family line. So that's another way to send it to the past. But sending it to the future, that's great too. If you're working on a project and you want a little extra healing energy to get it done, job interviews, going on
So
podcasts.
how would you do that? You would set your intention for what you want to happen in the future?
Yes, I would set my intention. I would ask that my intention would be that it be for, in my case, for my best and highest good, that it comes to fruition in the way that I have in my mind. And I would use the appropriate symbols, which would include the distance symbol in this case, because we're sending it out in space. Any attainment of goals. If there's something that you're working on, working towards, send a little Reiki to it every day. Or for a big life event, someone is going to have a baby or someone's getting married, you can send that. You can also, since we're talking about that, place Reiki on a gift before you give it to somebody, which is a
Oh,
really
that's
nice
a great
benefit.
idea. Oh, that's a great idea. Talk to me, tell listeners about most people who are familiar with Reiki are more familiar with it in person and what people do. But I also have found that Reiki long distance, especially if it's a loved one that I'm personally connected to energetically, like family, works very well. Talk about a little bit about that.
Yes, you do not have to be in the same physical location as a person. You could be across the country. And they don't even have to be connected through Zoom. You can send it to people. I've had very successful healing sessions where the person and I weren't face to face through Zoom. But I do ask that they're in a place of quiet where they're willing to, that they can receive and just be open to the experience, and then we touch base afterwards. But yes, it's extremely powerful and gentle. So when somebody is receiving Reiki, they might experience relaxation. They might experience some pleasant sensations. They could experience either a lightness or a heaviness in their body. And they might have, usually they sleep very well at night, that night. And they might have some vivid dreams because they're more aware. Their energy body is more active and a little bit more whole at that point.
Right. That's been my experience. Usually what I've done is I've said, let's pick a time, whether it's 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and light a candle, or you lay on your bed and you do this and I will do this. What do you use? I have a specific stuffed animal that I will utilize that is works with a deity that I also work with. So it's connected on many layers for me, and that is what I've utilized to touch in order to send energy.
To do the healing positions on the bear,
Right.
that's a wonderful way to do it. I've done it that way. I've also developed, I have, like I mentioned, my imagination is one of my strengths. So I designed a whole healing temple in my imagination where I go to
Right.
with my guides. And I envision the person on the Reiki table in my healing temple, and me along with my guides and their guides. And I've had great experiences, and I've shared them with my clients afterwards with what guides came through on their end that I know aren't mine. And sometimes that's really been an eye-opener for them. And
Right.
a lot of times they've been able to connect with that.
Right. So I know you talked a little bit in your book, and I found it interesting because I hadn't thought about this before, and I feel it's true that your senses deepen as you work with Reiki,
Yes.
especially your intuition and your psychic senses. Tell us about that, because I didn't, that's funny because I would consider myself very intuitive, and I wonder if that is why I'm very alert. It makes you very aware, alert to subtle changes and symbols, and so tell me about that.
Yes, my intuition. When I was growing up, I had a very strong intuitive sense. But over the years, as I grew up, I shoved that down because you know,
You talk yourself out of it. I talk myself out of, like, oh, you're imagining that.
exactly. And you know, I mean, teenagers and young adults, you start talking about, oh, I think I know. People don't want to hear that. And you don't want to be the weird one. I didn't want to be the weird one. So I pushed all that down. But as soon as I got attuned to Reiki, all of that came back, flooding back. And I had a whole new sense of self because of it. So listening to your gut response, listening to that little voice inside you, for me, was really where it started. And Reiki helped with that. And then over time, my other psychic senses started really kicking in. Because I was listening to my gut, and it all started there by listening and acknowledging and acting on your gut, your inner voice, your inner wisdom. The psychic senses for me followed naturally after that.
In your book, you had your 40-day sessions with Reiki 1 and then 2. What are the differences into the 40 days? Give us a little feel about what those are.
Sure. So for the first set of 40 days, that's Reiki 1. So we want to go over the hand position. So I really focused on each day would be.
Intention too. You did a really good job with this is what intention means. This is how you set it.
So we start with the intention and then we check in with that periodically. We set an intention each day. We go through the hand positions for self-healing. That's the main focus of the first section. And also getting in touch with the history of Reiki, what it means. So that was basically the first one. The second level two, we focus a lot on using the symbols for different things because that's new. And it really takes time to integrate that and see all the ways you can use that. So we talk about sending Reiki across time and space. We talk about the different ways you can do distance healing using the teddy bear or a doll. Using yourself as a substitute for another person, imagining or visualizing a healing temple. We talk about sending Reiki to a future event, to a past event. So each day you have a different prompt, complete with a theme of the day, going over in more detail that particular lesson of Reiki. It gives a meditation or a chance for a personal experience with that topic and a journaling section because I find journaling is
I
a
think that was
wonderful
a and a
practice.
journaling prompt is really helpful, and it for it kind of forces you to review what you've just learned and put it into action.
And to make it really personal, the whole what I really wanted people to do that are attuned to Reiki is not just take your Reiki 1 training and put it in a drawer, to really keep working with it and develop your own experiences so that you can be a better conduit of healing energy for yourself and share it with others.
The last level, which is the master level, and I agree, the person who I worked with also does it in two sections. Tell us what the master level, why someone would do it, and what it encompasses.
The master level is about spiritual healing. So you get additional symbols and you work on healing on a very high spiritual level. So it takes all the trainings that you've got and it just takes it to another level with additional symbols. And one that I found that is incredibly powerful for cutting energetic cords. That was important for me to learn, and that's not something that other teachers that I've seen taught, but that's a connection I made with one of those symbols you learn in the master level.
Oh, that's really good. For listeners who are new, explain an energetic cord. Because I'm a agree. I have been to many a cord cutting ceremony and ritual, and it's very healing, and you do not realize you keep emotional cords to things. Explain what those are.
The way I envision energetic cords is a connection between you and another person, or sometimes it's even you and a
An event.
thing, such as a
Right.
habit. I'm
Right.
thinking smoking is one that, you know, is dying in popularity, but for those who are suffering from it, is still a problem. It's that connection, that energetic connection. It's every time you think of that, it promotes that connection. And although we can't see these cords, they exist. And when you do an energetic cord cutting, Whether you use Reiki or you use visualization, we can work on cutting our own cords. The way I do it is I envision in my mind's eye the connection between me and this unhealthy relationship, whatever that happens to be. And I sit with that. I see it. I find where in my body I feel that attachment. And this is where some people get really caught up. Where is it? It's where you think it is. If it's your heart center, or I find a lot of mine are in the back of the heart center for some reason. Find that, visualize it, set the intention that it is not serving you currently. And then I envision in my mind an angel with a flaming sword, tends to be Archangel Michael, come down and sever that cord. And then rip it out, all roots and all. And then that's where the Reiki healing goes, right where that spot, that wound from that cord being ripped out. That's where it can go.
Oh, I see. So that, yes, I have been to a lot of cord cutting ritual, but I have not done one that incorporates Reiki. So that's a really nice, I never thought about that, but yes, I've been to many ceremonies where people, especially usually after a divorce or a parting, will do a cord, but you're right. I don't know that we've ever done anything that's healing. And you're right. It's when you remove something, there's a hole there.
There's a hole, and we want to fill it with divine love. So you can either, if you're not attuned to Reiki and you wanted to do it, you can just imagine a white light there, a healing white light. But if you are attuned to Reiki, send some real Reiki love there.
Oh, that's really good. So, and then the first part of Master Reiki is working in a higher level, and then also you can learn to work with teach others.
Yes, that's some Reiki master teacher level. For me, I believe in dividing it into two because there are people that might want the spiritual component, and that's a lot to digest. You want to learn that first. And then the master teacher is when you prove to your teacher that you have mastered all the levels, that you have an intimate understanding, that you can develop your own training materials and accurately, teach Reiki to others, and you learned how to do an attunement process, which is
So,
how you pass Reiki, the ability to do
right.
Reiki to others.
Right. So, and it's funny, I've had attunement for two different people, and it's funny, two different experiences. So, although once attuned, you're attuned, but
You're attuned.
it was interesting that it was really two different experiences for me. What, and you do another set of 40
Yes.
intentions and exercises. What are some things that you work at in the master 40 day
Using the
immersion?
symbol, using the new symbols, using going into details about the spiritual aspect of it. I also do some interesting things because if you're done Reiki 2, then you know about all the chakra centers, the energy centers. In the way I do Reiki, level 3 is I work on the elements too. It's a
I was
different
going to
map
say,
of the
talk about
body.
that. Tell us about that. I found that very interesting.
So the elements are just a different map of the body. So just like you have road maps and you have topography maps and you have all different kinds of maps, the chakra system is one map of the energy body. The elements are another one. And I find it very useful to work with the elements because they're on the planet Earth. We're all made up
Right.
of
And
these
a lot of
elements.
people who are pagan work with elements in their traditions, so they're real
Exactly.
comfortable with those.
Right. So we have, the earth element. You can picture a yellow square right under your feet. Then you have the water element, a beautiful silver crescent at your abdomen area. The fire element, you can picture like a red triangle at your solar plexus area. Think about your willpower. Your self-confidence, your drive, and it goes on from there. It's the air element, circle at the throat center, and then spirit is above all. So it's just a different way of working with the energy centers, and I find that a powerful practice too. So we work with that. Also get into a little bit more detail about advanced chakra work. So we do the seven chakras, the you know, the root chakra, the sacral chakra.
Right.
So we do the regular seven chakras earlier on, but then we talk about, you know, the chakras in the hands, the chakras in the feet. We have chakras in our ear centers. And we do a little bit more, you know, with the working with the Shushumna Nadi, the central channel where the chakras lie upon. And then we work on, you know, the different sides. So you have the nadis, the Ida and the Pingala nadis, the different sides of the body. So corresponding to our divine masculine energies and our divine feminine energies and how we can balance those.
It's very, very exciting. Something else that you put in your book, which, and it's funny, it leads me into your next book, but you start talking in this book about spirit guides.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
I love my spirit guides. I have to be honest. So, and this is another thing that I had from childhood. I had tons of guides, imaginary friends that lived above my canopy bed.
That is so interesting. I also had an imaginary friend. So that is very interesting.
And then you come to find out that maybe your imaginary friend wasn't so imaginary. So it was after my Reiki 2, it was kicked in Reiki 2. I was actually driving to my corporate day job and I had the most beautiful vision of a guide while I was driving. And I just knew that that was one of my healing guides. And I couldn't wait to get home and sit in quiet and try to communicate. So we do have healing guides and we have regular guides that have been with us, you know, since the moment of our birth, and other guides that come in at certain times. So we do, when we go embark on our healing journey, especially with Reiki, new guides come and join us specifically to help us with our own healing. And if we choose to share that with others, they'll be there to support us for that.
Do you think the process of, for me anyway, Reiki is something that I have to let flow, or I have to stand back for myself and be open to activate it, to let it come? Do you think that process is why all of a sudden you will become aware of guides, or you become more attuned to different type of psychic energy, or you just, it seems like there's all these things have always been there, but once you do Reiki, all of a sudden it feels like you're noticing new things, but I don't think they're necessarily new.
I don't think that, I agree with you. I don't think they're necessarily new. I just think our awareness changes. I think that we become more aware of the energy surrounding us. And I think that we become more open to different experiences in the spiritual realm. And these are spiritual beings. So yes, I completely agree with you that as we go through our own personal healing, and come to think of it, I think when we start healing some of these traumas from our past, it helps us align with who we really are and what we really are. Our natural state, like children, is to be in touch and communicate with these beings. So I think it helps us get back to who we are originally, who we're meant to be,
That's
before our ego gets involved.
Right. So your book is available at Llewellyn.com and bookstores. And I always tell people, if they don't get it at Llewellyn.com, go to a local independent bookstore and they can ask for it.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
All major retailers have it. Yes. Every day.
Absolutely. If someone is very interested in Reiki, but they've not been attuned, do you have some suggestions on how they can get qualified people?
Yes. Yes, there are, Reiki.org has a listing of people. You can look, what you might want to do, and this is the way I started, go to a Reiki session. Go to your local community and go for a healing session first. So if you're interested in becoming a Reiki healer, is this is something that you're, you know, has piqued your curiosity, then find somebody local or go online and find a person and have a healing session first before you sign up for a Reiki training from somebody. You want to make sure that you're resonating with them, that they are who they say they are, and that you connect, because a teacher-student relationship is a very important one, especially when you're dealing with spiritual subjects like Reiki healing. So I would start there.
Oh, that's a good idea. So I wanted to save time because I'm very excited. Again, Everyday Reiki is out now. You can get it. But you also have another book coming out that is a little bit different topic, but very, very akin to this. Tell us about your new book that's coming out
Yes, it's
in a couple
wonderful.
of months in May.
Yes, it is. It's coming out in May, and it was actually born out of this Reiki book. What I found is that when I was looking for information about my guides, when I wanted more information, there are some books on spirit guides and gods and goddesses, all these different books, but there wasn't one book that was specifically about healing guides and guides that can help us on our healing journey. And when we think healing, a lot of times we're focused just on physical healing, which is so important, but also healing of the emotional body, healing from traumas, healing from healing our minds, healing our energy bodies, healing our finances. Who doesn't need a little bit of help on that? So
Exactly.
that's how my second book was born, was out of my own quest for finding more support, more divine support for my healing journey. So we talk about spirit guides, we talk about working with ancestors, we talk about working with angels and archangels and our plant and animal allies and crystal allies. And it's a wonderful book. I
It
enjoy
is. It's
reading it.
called Spirit Allies and Healing Guides. Create your own divine support system. And it comes out in May 2024. So it again will be available on Llewellyn.com. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And because it talks about things that I've seen maybe snippets of in other books, but you've really combined and went deep with a lot of things. Like you talk about types of spiritual healing allies. So I think that is, tell us a little bit about that.
Spiritual healing allies, as in just spirit, the spirit
Right,
guides,
there's
or
spirit guides, right? There's guides and angels.
an angel.
And it's funny because a lot of people get kind of afraid of that, or I think a lot of those are faith-based, but I
No.
think angel is an old energy that came long much before Christianity.
I agree with that. And in my experiences, angels haven't been tied to a particular faith, and they don't appear to me as people. When I sense their energy, they tend to be geometric shapes or colors, actually, and not human-like forms. My guides tend to look more like human-like forms, whereas angels do not. But we have so many more. And you're talking about crossing different religions. Saints are traditionally, well, the Catholic Church is known for saints, but there are saints across many religions, and saints are willing to work with anybody, regardless of their religion. So, but an important point is that everyone's in control of who they add to to their guides, to their support system. So if something doesn't feel right to you, like working with a deity in another culture may not feel right. Or maybe working with a deity of the culture that you were born into might not feel right due to a personal preference. You're in control of who you add into your divine support system, your divine council. And it's a lot, been a lot of fun. It's been an adventure for me getting to know these different beings.
Right. And again, what I meant by types, like some people, like in tradition that I practice, spirit guide might be a common terminology. And someone else may say, oh, I can't work with that. But yet they will say they work with ancestors. And for me, it's the same type of energy, just with a different name, as it be an angel. Or, a lot of people have different words for the same type of spirit communication, I think.
I agree with that. And I try and differentiate in the book between different types. But there's also a lot of freedom to be able to work with what you're calling that being. And it doesn't have to be what I'm calling that being, because these are very personal relationships.
And your book also does a really good job of and telling us about cultivating relationships with your divine support system.
Well, there are so many ways to begin, but just for a short snippet, when you're working with your divine support system, knowing what type of beings that you're working with, for example, let's just say a spirit guide. You want to work with a spirit guide. I set aside time each day to sit with my guides because I want to have a relationship with them. I don't want to ever demand or force or.
I really like that example that you gave, demanding versus request. I totally agree.
Well, I look at it as a friend. You know, like
Right.
if I called up my friend that I haven't talked to in 6 months and said, well, I'm saying friend loosely, somebody I haven't talked to and said, you need to do this for me now. I'm not going to
Right.
get a great response from that,
No.
nor should I. But
Right.
if this is a friend that I've talked to every day and I ask for help because I really need something, they'll be there in a heartbeat and happy to do it. So it's forming that connection. It's being consistent with it. It's doing some research. So if it's a spirit guide that is not an angel or a deity, get to know that guide. Set aside that, light a candle and sit. Maybe do some journaling with them. Close your eyes and imagine what they look like. And then maybe if you're artistically inclined, I am not, draw a picture. But I will put colors down for different guides and just sort of free form. So there are so many ways to connect and form that lasting bond.
And I really like too something that I do naturally. You talk about having a gratitude mindset when something occurs in your work, and it's funny. I do that. I mean, it is. It's like, yeah, when you get in the habit of doing that, then you can feel a dopamine and endorphins drop in your body when something happens and you recognize that you're. God had a hand in this and you're very grateful. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
it's just it also I think reinforces your body that that this is going to happen and you're more open to the experience. Does that make sense?
It does, and I loved what you said about gratitude because I thank for everything. At the end of my day, I'll run through everything and I will thank my guides. I will thank, even when things don't work out the way I want, sometimes it gives me a chance of reflection to find what can I learn from this experience. And then I thank them for teaching me the lesson.
Of the gift too. Right.
It is a gift. It's all a gift. And that's a mindset, is to look at every experience either as an opportunity or a learning experience, and then to give gratitude for either. Equally.
And I think at least for me, I think gratitude is some people naturally it's part of their way they grew up or it's part of their DNA. But I think you can teach yourself to become more grateful. And I think it's something for me like a muscle. Once you just practice it and it becomes natural, then you start reaping, I mean, you're reaping the benefits from it. So, yeah, and gratitude can take, like I said, not a great day and make it worthwhile. And so, yeah, I find, I laugh. I say I get gifts from my guides with momentum, like if there's something I don't want to do, and I go outside my box, I will get some type of gift or something will happen that I recognize that it's like good girl, and it's like you need to do this, but it's just funny. And so yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So do I. Gratitude in what I, when you said a practice, it reminded me of something I've been working with my guides with a lot is a forgiveness practice. I've been feeling so much lighter since I started a forgiveness practice. Like my heart's just been singing. And my guides have led me to that it, for the past 6 months, it's time to really start working on that heart muscle, your forgiveness muscle.
It is because and again, letting go is something that's part of forgiveness, and that's hard. That's really, really hard to do. So, that is. So how this book it's coming out in May. What Was it hard to write?
It was
Or
so much fun to write. It was so much fun to write. But it was born out of that curiosity of, okay, I have these guides, and I'm a research person, so I was like, okay, let me look up stuff, and I couldn't find what I was looking for in one book. I had, several different books, and they each gave you a little bit of a glimpse here or a little glimpse here, but I was like, I really want one thing for other people who are involved with their own healing journey, and for those people that are Reiki healers to have a resource to say, okay, what's available to me? Who can I add to my healing team so I can help others heal? So it's for personal journey for people who aren't Reiki healers, but for Reiki professional, I wish I had it.
Absolutely. And something that I was not as familiar with that I'll be reading and researching is like a third of the book, you give lots of examples of healing deities, ascended masters, a lot of different pantheons, a lot of folks to pick from to work with. And I've not seen that all in one book. So that was very exciting.
And
Talk to me about that.
that was basically the point of my book, was to do that, to be able to come up with, it's obviously it can't be a comprehensive list. No one can go through all the different cultures and time periods and come up with the be all and end all listing of all deities that have been involved in healing. But I enjoyed the challenge of trying to find as many as possible. And I took the time to really sit with each of them, and I tried to give a practice to go with each one. So a meditation or something that the day, something to help you connect with that deity or angel or ascended master or saint or sage. And sit with that energy and invite that energy in so that you can use that being of light to help you along your healing path. That was a lot of fun for me.
Oh yeah, and all pantheons. I mean, Egyptian, Greek, Christian, Mary Magdalene, I remember was in there. I mean, you covered a lot of different, which was really good because again, I think people come from all different paths and traditions and historical backgrounds, and so I think that was really, I was. Some I was very familiar with, but to be honest, some I was either forgotten or I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. And so you're right, it just gives you more tools to utilize.
And if there's something you're specifically working on, so for example, I'm having trouble coming up with one, but let's say you're interested in financial healing. That's your thing. You need help with that. There are many options in the book to look up for financial healing. The same with, family healing, healing of children. So there are examples in the book of suggestions that you may want to work with for specific issues.
That's good. And you end your book with Crystal Spirit Allies. Tell us just a little bit as we end with that.
Oh, so for example, and not planned, but I'm just going to reach over. My lapis lazuli was helping me with my throat chakra today. So I love working with crystals. Our crystal allies are our friends, and it ties in nicely with Reiki because I do offer crystal grids when I'm doing my Reiki healing sessions. So each stone, each type of crystal has an energy associated with it, and you can sit with your crystals and form a relationship with them. I usually do it by taking a crystal. This one's large, but in my non-dominant hand, and I'll send energy to the crystal and invite the energy crystal back, usually from my heart center. So I just send the energy out and invite it back. And I get feelings and impressions, and it can really be a nice healing experience. Different crystals have different properties, but even picking up a stone from your yard or the beach, you can have a quite an amazing experience with that type of stone as well. It doesn't have to be a fancy crystal from a crystal shop.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much. Your books are fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
And her books are Everyday Reiki. And her new one coming out in May is Spirit Allies and Healing Guides. Are you online or tell us about your website?
Yes, my website is intuitive with a dash hearts.com. And all my offerings are there. You can even order the books. There are links from the books on the website, as well as my practices, which are all online right now. But if you're in the Rhode Island area, I will be opening up my business. The scheduled date will be in May, mid-May.
All right.
Yes.
Do you offer, do you do personal Reiki healings?
Yes, I do personal Reiki healings. I do them online right now,
Okay.
but I will be doing them in person in my new place.
Oh, okay. And we all can go to your website. All your information's there.
Yes,
All
thank you
right.
so much.
Anything else coming up? Or do you have any other new projects that you're brewing or thinking about?
I'm tossing around right now. It's focusing on opening the business and getting that up and running, but I'm sure there'll be another book in my future because I've had such a joy writing the last two.
Do you have a name of your new business?
It's Intuitive Hearts,
Of
just like
all right.
the website. It's very
All
easy
right.
to remember.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you.
And also thanks Steve, our sound engineer, for his technical expertise. And I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast or CSNP. Join us again on May 7th for our next episode of Circle Talk. I look forward to being with you all again, so please come back. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow nature-centered paths. Join us throughout the week for various programming connecting with the community around the world. Please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. Until next time, many blessings.